Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
The topic is, are you a victim of a covert narcissist? And in parentheses, I have, it can happen to anybody. And the reason why I say that is because it happened to me. So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung, and today's topic is actually very near to my heart, although not dear. And the topic is, are you a victim of a covert narcissist? And in parentheses, I have, it can happen to anybody. And the reason why I say that is because it happened to me. And, you know, a lot of people who know me would think, you know, how would that ever happen? I'm a person who appears very strong, confident. I have a law practice. I've been a lawyer for a long time. I've been actually a very good lawyer and in a type of practice that requires me to be, you know, strong for my clients and strong for other people. However, you know, on the flip side of that, in my personal life and me as a personal, as a person, as a human being walking the face of this earth, I'm also an empath. And as an empath, I feel things very deeply and I feel a lot of empathy for people and I have a lot of compassion for people. And I'm also a person who has accomplished a lot of things, and I am up to a lot of things. And all of that together made me a perfect target, a wonderful target for a couple of covert narcissists to attach themselves to and make me their target. So it can happen to anybody. You know, covert narcissists don't just target, you know, in some ways, after reading so much about covert narcissism, I feel better and I also feel worse. But one of the things that I have learned is that they target people who they know will sympathize with them. So just to let you know, just starting off this in a kind of very casual way, but just to let you know that in my own life, I had to really create some boundaries. In the past year, I had one covert narcissist that is a member of my extended family, not my immediate family. And then I had one who was involved in my life in the business sense. And in both cases, I didn't really realize either person was a narcissist. And why is that? I didn't notice that because they are covert. That's why they're called that. And guess what? I never even heard of this word covert narcissist until I became a victim myself, you know, and they're so covert and the whole rest of the world doesn't see them the way you see them. So you really do start questioning your own sanity. So let's talk about first the three different types of narcissists. I used to call them overt and covert, but I recently did some videos with Dr. Romani, which will be coming out soon. and a couple of podcasts, and she told me that there was not really such a thing as overt, that they're grandiose is, I guess, the actual name for what we call overt narcissists. And then there's malignant narcissists, which are, so the overt narcissist is like your wolf, and your covert narcissist is your wolf in sheep's clothing. And then there's the malignant narcissist, which is, you know, your stalkers and the really scary people. And those are probably, you know, the most dangerous in some ways. But I would argue that the covert narcissist is the most toxic, the most poisonous, the most insidious, because they are really, really good at hiding their narcissism. They are 100% narcissists, which means that they have zero sense of self-esteem or self-value or self-worth inside. They get 100% of their feeling of value from the external. All of it comes from external. That's the same with all narcissists. And they lack empathy. So that's the same as all narcissists as well. The difference with covert narcissists is that they are really good at hiding it. So they often play the victim. They often get people to feel sorry for them. They do whatever they can to get admiration and being the center of attention, but they do it in very secretive ways that don't look like the way grandiose or overt narcissists do. I mean, they don't jump up on the stage and go, "Let me be the center of attention." They stealth their way into being, you know, maybe on a committee where they have power to, you know, make decisions about things. And so they get attention that way. Or, you know, they get people to put them in positions where they're going to get attention. So, and to me, it's kind of like this crazy paradox that all narcissists have, because they all have zero self-esteem and get all their value from the external, but then they also think that they're superior to everyone. So what happens with covert narcissists is that they start off love bombing the same way all narcissists do. So all narcissists have these three phases of their relationship, which is love bombing and then devaluing and then discarding. So you start off with the love bombing, and then they start with these really, it's not the same as overt narcissists where they'll just literally put you down. It's more like a passive aggressive thing, like, "Oh, I took care of that for you since you didn't do it." It's just kind of very slightly letting you know that you weren't competent, that you didn't handle it properly, so they had to do it. And that passive aggressiveness becomes a form of gaslighting in a way, you know, kind of trying to make you feel like you're crazy, you know, forgetting things that you asked for and things like that. And it's always small enough and manipulative enough that you know that something doesn't feel right. And you know that their intentions aren't pure and you feel it in your gut. But the rest of the world thinks this person is so nice and such a good person. And so when you tell them the kinds of things that are going on, or you tell other people, they go, "Well, that sounds like it was probably a misunderstanding," or "That doesn't seem so bad." But then it kind of starts adding up and adding up, and you just really start realizing this person is targeting you and is like against you in some way. And here's the crazy kind of thing about covert narcissists is when they target a person, they are obsessed with that person in a way. And yet, and they're obsessed with them. A lot of times they're very jealous of them, very jealous of them, and very envious, and, you know, want to be like them and want to have their life. But then on the other hand, they're also trying to do things to them. They're constantly trying to put them down and show this other person that I'm better than you, or I devalue you in some way. It's a very strange, strange odyssey of craziness that is just insidious, and it becomes very, very traumatic in the end. I read a book by Debbie Mirza, which I highly recommend, called The Covert Passive-Aggressive Narcissist. And one of the things that she, and I definitely, if you think that you're dealing with a covert narcissist, highly recommend reading it. As I was reading it, I was realizing that the two people in my world were, I mean, basically she could have just been writing about them. And that's when I really realized that this is what I was dealing with. So one of the things that she talks about that they also do is triangulate. What that means is that as part of their gaslighting and abuse and trying to devalue you after the love bomb phase is get everyone around you as much as they can. Now, they're very careful about who they choose, but they want you to feel like everyone else loves this person, so obviously it must just be you. And they specifically target people that they know won't see through their little scheme and their plan and will go along with, oh, poor me, I'm just a victim. Or they'll think, oh, this one is the nice one, this one is the good one. The other one is, you know, well, she's so strong and she's so capable. So clearly, this other one must be the victim and this other one must need me in some way. And so these people start lining up against you and lining up for this other person because this other person is just, they're so needy, you know, they're so downtrodden. This other person, you know, they obviously you have stepped on them in some way, and so they need you. And so Debbie Mirza calls them the flying monkeys, you know, like the Wicked Witch has her flying monkeys, and that's how they are.
Coming up, more with Rebecca on Are You a Victim of a Covert Narcissist? It can happen to anyone.
But it's really all just a ploy to manipulate you. They're super passive aggressive and they drip, drip, drip that emotional abuse onto you like water torture drips on your forehead. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca talk more about dealing with a narcissist in episodes such as How to Beat a Narcissist in Court.
Dealing with narcissists if you have to go to court is no fun. You're in for the fight of your life.
And now we return to today's show.
These covert narcissists are, because they lack empathy, they're extremely judgmental, but they're very careful about who they show that judgmentalness, if that's a word, to. I mean, so you see it as the person that they're targeting, but the rest of the world just thinks, oh, they're just so nice and such good people. Because remember, they just choose like one person to target at a time, or maybe they might have more than one, but you know, they've got this person that they're obsessed with. And I saw another video with Debbie Mirza, and she said, they never leave you alone. They never leave you alone. And I hope that's not true in my case. I've been very careful about trying to put up boundaries and move on with my life. But, you know, until they find somebody else to hook onto, they continue to target you or be obsessed with you. The covert narcissist may seem shy or insecure. They're prone to depression. They will tell you that they're prone to depression. They will also even tell you things like that they're very spiritual or maybe very religious, so you think they're such good people. They talk about kindness, underneath, they fantasize of being of greatness and admiration. They try to look like they're just being helpful. And they start off in the love bombing phase of, look at all these wonderful things that I can do for you, and look how helpful I can be to you. But it's really all just a ploy to manipulate you. They're super passive aggressive, and they drip, drip, drip that emotional abuse onto you like water torture drips on your forehead. So you eventually feel like you're crazy. So, you know, like I said, when you do tell other people what they're doing, you appear to be the crazy one because, of course, that person is so nice. And they play the victim so people feel sorry for them, and they make you out to be the villain. They have a total lack of empathy for others at their core. They really just exploit others so that they can fulfill their own need for admiration. You just know when you're in this person's world that there's just something not right, and you don't feel good when you're around this person. They know how to make you feel wrong all of the time, but it's very underhanded. It's this little message that I'm better than you. They also often feel wronged. Nobody sees how much I did. Everybody's getting their flying monkeys to believe that, even in the face of reality. They do passive-aggressive things like, oh, you texted me? Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. In Debbie Mirza's book, she talked about a husband who, you know, would run into Starbucks to get coffee, and the wife was waiting in the car, and he'd say, do you want anything? And she'd say, yeah, sure. And he'd come back, and she'd say, where's my coffee? And he'd say, oh, I forgot, I'm sorry, but then not offer to go back in and get it. And, like, that would happen several times. It's so common. So you start questioning yourself, your own sanity. Like I said, it's like that little drip, drip, drip to make you feel like you're crazy. And they try to set it up that if you leave them or don't want to be in a relationship with them anymore, they want it to appear to the world that you must be the terrible one because look how wonderful they are. They're so nice. And they must be the victim of you, the bad person. So they're often very sick. Sometimes they have, you know, constant issues. That's one of the covert narcissists that I had to deal with. Always has some kind of physical ailment. And a lot of them also are always trying to one-up you. So, you know, you say something like, I don't feel well. Well, if you don't feel well, how about me? I had, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. It's always, you know, 100 times worse than whatever you have. So, and again, as I mentioned, if you're the one that wants out of the relationship, then they, you know, it may be a while before they leave you alone because it triggers their narcissistic trauma and they don't want to be ignored. They hate that. They are the masters of fake apologies. You'll hear them apologize because, you know, grandiose and malignant narcissists don't apologize. But the covert narcissists will sometimes apologize just to, they know that that's what they're supposed to do. But then you won't see any change in their behavior. So And they like to play down the accomplishments of others. So, all right. So now I've talked all about this, and I've shared with you my own situation. So what can you do about it? Well, I mean, it's not an easy, let me just say, it's not an easy thing. I mean, dealing with these people 100% sucks. I will tell you that. Excuse my French. It is a podcast, so I'm allowed to say, but it's just horrible. I mean, they're awful, awful, horrible, horrible people. And, you know, the good news for me is, and for all of you out there, is that because I actually had to deal with this myself, I really understand what it's like to be the victim of a narcissist or two. And I that is why I've decided to create my programs on how to negotiate with a narcissist and my webinars on the three secrets to communicating with a narcissist and all of the things that I've been doing, because I get that it's horrible. I mean, they're just the most toxic, horrible, horrible people. So the first thing I will say is don't react to their manipulation. When they tell you what they're doing, you know that it's just to manipulate you, you just say, great, or good for you. If the timing is right, sometimes you might want to call them out on your behavior. I had to do that with a couple of the narcissists that I was dealing with. Oh, I'm surprised to see you're here since you said you were sick yesterday. You know, let them subtly know that you're on to them. But make sure you say it without emotion, because if you say it with emotion, if you react, then, you know, then they know they have you. So, you know, just very subtly calling them out on their behavior, I'm a fan of. And very much number three, do not let them think they're getting to you, because covert narcissists prey on people they think they can manipulate, or people that they're extremely jealous of or extremely envious of or want to be like or whatever. But they have that very deep envy streak in them. And they want to upset you, because then you know, they know that you have some kind of feelings about them. And you're getting a rise. Now you're getting attention. Or giving them attention. So don't allow them to gaslight you either. They will say things like, oh, we talked about that, or that was a misunderstanding, when you know you didn't talk about that, and you know it wasn't a misunderstanding. They just are trying to gaslight you, make you feel like you're crazy. I would say number four, keep your barriers strong. All narcissists have a problem with respecting boundaries. You're supposed to respect theirs, of course, but they don't respect yours. You know, I will not be ignored. That was what somebody told me was, you know, a mantra of a narcissist, and I never forgot that. I will not be ignored. So you have to have really strong boundaries. They will not like it, and they will get more aggressive. They start having their little narcissistic tantrums. Be prepared for that, because they're used to having tantrums and then having you do things, you know, as a result, having it work. But, you know, in some ways here, you have to manipulate the manipulator. And I call it an ethical manipulation, because you're not going to be as underhanded as they are. But, you know, if you have to manipulate them a little bit in order to get them out of your life, then that might be worth it. It would definitely be worth it. They are absolutely emotionally abusive and toxic. And no matter what their relationship is to you, really, you are better off without them in your life. Unless you can figure out a way to keep your barriers extremely and absolutely firm and keep yourself emotionally detached from their manipulation and abuse. So those are my thoughts on dealing with a covert narcissist and what you're dealing with when you are a victim of a covert narcissist. And as I said at the beginning of this show, it really can happen to anybody. If it happened to me, it can happen to anybody. You know, I consider myself to be a really nice person. And, you know, one of the things that I've really decided is that I'm not going to consider myself to be a victim. I made choices which allowed certain things to happen in my life. Now, the one that's part of the extended family, I can't, you know, that person just came into my life. And so I can't say that I made a choice to have that person in my life, but I certainly made a choice to allow certain behavior to keep happening. And when you do that, you're basically conditioning the narcissist that that's your line, that, you know, that they can do whatever they want to. And, you know, you're just, you know, a lot of times I think for me, especially, it was like, okay, I just don't want to have to deal with this person, or I don't want to give them the satisfaction of acknowledging or whatever. And then they end up doing more and more and more and more and more. And if, especially if they don't get the attention or that they are hoping to get, then they have to up the ante a little bit. So in my case, one of the covert passive-aggressive narcissists actually took a little too much of a chance. And so other people saw this person for what the person is, and that was helpful to me. And the other one, some people are seeing it as well, but, you know, and the other one is not part of my extended family, so I'm able to, you know, be done. But the thing that, you know, you have to remember is to try to stick to your boundaries and keep them out of your life as much as you possibly can. So, and then don't call yourself a victim. You know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, those of you who listen to me regularly, you know that I'm a student of his work. And, you know, he often says that if you're a victim, then you are basically saying you don't have control of your life. And I don't want to say that. So I made decisions that allowed these people to do things and be in my life in a certain way. And I've now made a decision that that's not going to happen anymore. So, and that's the message that I want to bring to you all here in listening to this episode, is that you don't have to be a victim either. Even if you were a target, you don't have to be a victim. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.